A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello Ramblers, Addy here, and welcome to the latest Ramble Meets, which comes to you all the way, virtually anyway, from Russia with love, as I'm joined by Leonid Slutsky. Now, you might remember him from coaching CSKA Moscow through a trophy-laden spell, from taking Russia to the Euros, or that surprise stop-off at Hull City, and believe you me, he still absolutely loves the English game and takes us through all of his glittering career. Anyway, he's now the head coach of a rebuilding Rubin Kazan, and we have to thank the club, and especially their English language Twitter account, at FCRK_EN, check them out, for their help with setting this up. In fact, you might have already seen the clubs and Leonid's rather eye-catching way of getting into the holiday spirit recently, and don't worry, we touch on that as well. Leonid's such a great guy, and I really enjoyed this. I really hope you do too. This is Ramble Meets Leonid Slutsky.
Well, we want to talk about your career a bit, as well as Rubin. So let's start from the beginning. You retired quite young from playing football. Is it true that it's because of a knee injury that you got falling out of a tree while saving your neighbor's cat?
Yes, this is absolutely true.
What happened?
Oh, nothing special. I sat at home and my neighbor, quite pretty girl, knocked on my door and asked me, oh, Leonid, please help me because my cat, first time outside in our flat and move up on the street, please bring my cat back. And I tried to move forward and, of course, fall down because I'm not the best tree jumper, maybe, I don't know.
So I guess from that point, when does, how, what's the gap between you realizing that you can't play at the top level to the moment where you realize you're going to become a coach?
I didn't have another chance because after injury, I forgot about my football career, and in this time I continued to learn in the special Russian physical culture and sport university, and I had only one chance to stay in the football, start or maybe scientist career, and I started to do it first, scientist career, or second one, which is coaching career.
Okay, so you coach FC Moscow, you coach Krylia Sovetov, and then after almost 2 years at Krylia Sovetov, you take the job at CSKA Moscow. That's in 2009. And they've had quite a difficult season because you're their third coach of the season. What was the environment like when you took the job over from... I think they'd had Zico and Juan de Ramos already that season, hadn't they? So what was it like? What was the job that you were tasked with doing?
I don't know what's happened with foreign coaches, but traditionally CSKA foreign coaches was not successful, to be honest, because we had like example with Artur Jorge, which is very famous Portugal coach, and I don't know, like for example, for Crystal Palace, yes, is not successful foreign coaches, only domestic coaches more successful, club like Crystal Palace, yes, you understand. And CSKA, also foreign coaches was not successful, and we tried to change something, and maybe for Juan de Ramos, it was not big club, after Real Madrid, after big clubs in his career. And I think CSKA tried to little bit change direction for young players, for Russian players, and maybe in which situation Russian coach was better than foreign coach. That's it, I think. This is only which situation. And of course, I was very lucky because we started played very well in Champions League and automatically qualified in the top 16, which it was first time for all CSKA history. And of course, it was serious achievement for me and for club. And after this type of achievement, it was easy to work, continue to work and understand each other, football players and me, owner and me. And of course, it was like serious credit for the future.
So getting to the quarterfinals of the Champions League helped you get support from the board and get your ideas across and get the players you wanted for the future?
Yes, of course, because I was very young coach. Some players in CSKA were the same age like me, and of course I didn't have a big authority because we have a very big difference, mentality difference. For example, for English players, I know this very well, coach automatically very big boss. If you tell players, okay guys, today we are running 100 kilometers, we say it, yes boss, and start to run. Yes. Russian players, we have a completely different mentality, and you need maybe like show your quality, your individual level. And of course, after very big success in Champions League, it was easy for me. I have a good contact with the players, and we understood my ideas better because we understood, okay, ideas with coach is working, yes, and Champions League quarterfinal, which is continue to be the biggest results for all Russian clubs for whole history, if we are talking about like Champions League format, which is new format for last 23 or 22 years.
When you look back at that spell now, and you won 7 major trophies, 3 Russian Premier Leagues, 4 in the last 3 titles in the last 4 years. You look at the players you coach, the Berezutsky twins, Akinfeev, Ignashevich, Zhagoev, Wagner Love later on, Seydou Doumbia, Golovin. Do you look back and think, was it difficult to appreciate at the time what an amazing moment in your career that was? Or do you appreciate it more as time goes by?
Yes, I'm very appreciated, and it was the best time in my career right now, because I worked with greatest players and we were very successful, because each season we had maybe 6th or 7th budget in the Russian leagues, and Zenit, because he was unbelievable, completely different level. We had buy players for 60 millions, like Hulk or Witzel, which is very big transfers. But we beat almost each season Zenit and another clubs. If you maybe remember, Andriy, it was grateful project, because Samuel Eto'o, Boussoufa, Diarra, we bought a lot of players, and it was maybe one time Eto'o, he was the most the biggest money contract in all world football, bigger than everyone. It's Eto'o signed the biggest contract with Andriy. And we had a very serious competition in Russian league, because 6 or 7 clubs were ambition. And yes, we beat, and we 3 times champions. Every season we played in Champions League. Yes, it was very good time, very nice time. But each time, each empire sometimes finish, you know, it with... Yeah.
So what do you think gave you the edge over those teams that had more money than you did? What do you think made the difference?
This is a very difficult question, because I think the biggest difference between CSKA and Zenit in this time, it was because we had a Russian core and Zenit, we had an international core. And my opinion... you can be successful only if you have a domestic core players. Of course, in the modern football, this is quite difficult. If we are talking about Liverpool or Man City or Chelsea, which is almost impossible to understand how it's possible to use domestic core and only key players, English players in this position. But in Russia, especially... 10 years ago, it was possible. And in Zenit, for example, it was the big conflict between foreign players and Russian players, because another level of a salary, another level of a mentality, and we had advantage in this situation. And I think Russian core, it was the biggest factor for our successful.
And another thing that changed about Russian football around then, around the start of your spell at the club, is between 2011 and 2012, Russia made the shift from a summer league to a winter one to sort of come in line with Europe's other big leagues. And you must have prepared the team pretty well, because the first time you won the league was in 2012-2013, when there was a big gap between seasons. I mean, did that help? And how do you feel about... Russia having shifted, is it a good thing that it's moved to the same timetable, or roughly the same timetable, as other big European leagues?
You are asking about difference between right now, 10 years ago, yes or not?
Yes, yes.
Oh, because I think a lot of money out of Russian football, and if we are talking about 10 years ago, or for example, it's a very, very simple example, I think you understand me. For example, in 2016, Rubin bought one of the best player PSV, Listien. It was possible. Only 4 years ago, Rubin, not the best time, the best club in Russia, can bought the best player of PSV. Right now, you know where play the best player of PSV, which is Bergwijn. Yes, it's a yes, it's like Tottenham. Yes, or Lozano, Napoli. It's a which is huge difference. If 5 years ago we can bought one of the best player PSV or AZ, for example, CSKA, we bought two of the best player from AZ, Pontus Wernbloom and Rasmus Elm. It was 2013. Yes, right now, maximum level, which is Herenveen or another clubs, average clubs from the Dutch league or Belgium league. Of course, this is completely different of money. We have a really very big problem with finance fair play, because yes, we don't receive a lot of money from the TV, from the supporters. And finally, our league moved down, and in which year we have only one club who qualified in Europa League after group stage. Yes, that's it. And last season we had the same results. Only nobody qualified in the top 16 and top 32 Europa League or Champions League. And now this is very big difference between 2020 and 2010.
I wanted to talk as well, Leonard, about the fact that Russia used to have a summer league, and now it's the way the league season happens is more like other big European leagues. So it's from July to May. So, for example, at the moment, you're getting ready now as we're speaking to go to training camp with Rubin, your current club. How is it managing such a long break? And on the other hand, how difficult was it for you when you were managing in England or the Netherlands and they don't have a 2 or 3 month winter break?
To be honest, Andy, for me, this is not difficult because I used to work in Russian winter break, which is a very long time. But because CSKA almost each season qualified in Europa League or Champions League, in CSKA, I had also 3 weeks for preparation, because usually Champions League or Europa League started at February and we finished in December, one month, which is like vacation, and we had 3 weeks or maximum 4 weeks to prepare for the new season, Champions League or Europa League. And for me, it was not big difference between what I try to use in Russia and in England or Holland. Only difference, you have a break time in the summertime, and we had the break time in the wintertime. But because we had a preparation in Spain or Portugal, yes, it was not big difference.
Well, you talk about the break in summer. I mean, how has been the start of this Russian Premier League season for you? Because there was barely any space. Obviously, a lot of the, if you look at football all over Europe and all over the world, the calendar has been squeezed a little bit because of the COVID break. But like Russia had, what, less than 2 weeks? I mean, how do you deal with that?
Oh, it was a very painful question for me, because first problem, of course, which is very short time between finish one season and start another season, because you told me it was only 2 weeks. And 6 days we had a vacation after very difficult previous championship. And another problem for me, because Rubin previous season we had a squad for 12 loan players, and in these 2 weeks I almost changed whole team. In this time we changed 11 players for, and of course it was very difficult to prepare a new team if you have only 2 weeks break between championships. Yes, and but okay, it was very difficult time, and we started not very well. First 3 games, it was very difficult for us. But after this, we started to play better. But I was, my opinion, about we had to stop previous championship and start new, like France or Holland, for example, because we have a completely different like weather condition, yes, and we can't play in December, January, and February in Russia. And of course, for me, it's a very short distance between two championships. It was very painful and very difficult moment.
If we go back, talking of summers, if we go back to 2016, when you left CSKA, it was quite an emotional year for you, because you'd been doing the Russia job and the CSKA job at the same time for almost a year. After Euro 2016, you leave the national team job. A few months after that, you leave the club after such a successful spell. I mean, how was that year for you? That must have been really tough.
And it was my decision. And when I had a first meeting with Conte, he automatically asked me, "Oh, Leonid, how is possible to have a together work in the one of the biggest club in Russia and national team?" Because he has experience like national team coach and big club coach. Yes, it was very difficult time, and I understood. I always try to listen my feel, yes, my feeling, and I understood maybe, okay, I was 3 times Russian champions. I worked in national team. I qualified national team in Euro 2016. Maybe this is the best time to change something in my career. And because nobody from Russian coaches never do it, never move out from the country, because we are not popular in Europe. We don't have like coaching tradition in Europe. We don't speak English or another language. And I thought maybe I want to try. Of course, a lot of people told me, "You are crazy. How possible to do it? You are working in the best club in Russia. You are right now champion of a Russian league." But I told, no, I want to try. And first 6 months, I tried to learn English, and I learned English in Riversdown School, maybe the best linguistic school in the world. Mr. Lewis, thank you very much for your support. Because before I didn't speak English, I didn't tell anything, yes. And after 6 months, it was quite good results. Of course, like my son always told me, "Father, you have an unbelievable Russian accent." Yes, I told him, "Of course, you are learning English in the Cambridge School in Moscow since 4 years, yes. And I started to learn English when I was 46 almost, yes. And this is very big difference between us. And when I finished learn English, not finished, of course, it's when I had a basic knowledge in English, I started to find a job. And I had a lot of interviews, believe me, a lot of interviews with sporting directors, owners, general directors, clubs. But for each club in England, it was very big risk give me a job, because, okay, Russian coach, yes, like quite a lot of achievements, but in Russian league, nobody knows how it's working in England. And finally, to be honest, I had only one offer from Hull City.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, "Yeah, I've had a good life, right?"
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, "Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind."
When I first first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week on Stakhanov.
Join the self-care club as they trial out all those January health kicks. Listen as they put themselves to the test with Couch to 5K, Dry January and loads more.
I think that evening was probably the closest you and I have ever come to having a bit of a Barney, which we didn't
really
have, but we nearly had one. It could have tipped into Bruegus.
And why not check out the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, where Roberto Martinez reflects on the highs and lows of his managerial career and the lessons he's drawn from 14 years at the top of the game.
When you're a young coach, you almost feel that you want to answer every doubt or every question mark that there is surrounding your position and out there. And then the older that you get, you understand that you cannot stop that. It's impossible. You need to affect the headlines of tomorrow. And that's the real power of working in football and being the manager.
All that and a whole lot more at
Stakhanov. To us, it seems like quite unusual that you go from winning Russian leagues to taking charge of a team in the Championship, albeit a team that was recently in the Premier League.
Of course, if I had an offer from the Premier League clubs, I said yes, of course. But if I didn't have, of course, I tried to use my knowledge in another league and Hull City, I am very thankful for a hub for this offer, but maybe it was the most difficult time in my career because at the beginning of our conversation, a hub told me about, okay, we keep almost all squad, we have a target to promotion immediately after relegation, but finally we lost 25 players, and for 1 month pre-season, we changed three teams. And finally, we had a final teams only after five games. Because if you remember, in this season, transfer window was open, not closed before Championship, like right now. And it was a very funny time. We had a pre-season camp in Portugal, and every morning, somebody knocked in my door. I opened door and he told me, thank you, coach. I am leaving right now. Yes. Every day, somebody, doesn't matter who it was, or Andy Robertson, or Jakupovic, or another players. Yes, it's Sam Glukas. Yes, a lot of players told me. And of course, it was a very difficult time for me. We started to play. We started pre-season one team, started season second team, and after five games, I had a third team. Yes, and I thought, okay, this is maybe special test for me. I don't deserve maybe another situation. And of course, I was very disappointed, not the best results. And usually we played very well first if game finish after 85 minutes, we stay in the maybe five or seven or six position, yes, but because a lot of players we didn't have a preseason and physically was not good, and we dead after 85 minutes, and usually we conceded a lot of goals at the added time. It was very difficult to change something, and of course because we had a lot of players without preseason, it was a lot of injuries, serious injury, like for example Abel Hernandez, the best strikers in our team, yeah. He broke his Achilles after three games, and we lost him on the 6 months, and of course it was very difficult time, and I was very nervous about situation. I tried to do the best, but when I watched Sunderland Till I Die, I understood, oh, maybe it was not the worst job, yes, because Sunderland, we had the same problem. We keep only 10 players. We kept maybe only 3 or 4 players, and Sunderland immediately relegated in the League One. It was the same season. Oh. And when I watched Sunderland Till I Die, I really cried, yes, because it was very good memory, and I like England, I like English football, and I think maybe Championship better than Premier League, because this is typical English football. And I know a lot of my friends who told me, I don't like Premier League. Yes, I like Championship, because when we made like 3 short pass in a row, supporters automatically started to boo, and only after a long ball, yes, but you can do it. But of course, I didn't have a lot of knowledge about Championship, and of course, we had a lot of problems with squad. But when I start to remember about this time, it was very emotional time, and really, I want to come back one time, not in Premier League, I understand, this is no chance, but Championship, it will be great.
But, I mean, how difficult was it to learn on the job as well? I mean, you talked about the turnover of players, and I can imagine that you watch the Premier League from Russia now, and you look at Maguire, you look at Andrew Robertson, you look at Jared Bowen, who you gave a real opportunity to in that team, and he started to score goals under you, and you think, that could have been my team.
Oh. Coach, really, I don't have dreams, yes, because dream and reality, which is very big difference, usual. Sure. But I'm very proud, for example, for Jared Bowen, because I gave him a big chance. He didn't play at starting 11 before, and he started to play immediately at starting 11 since preseason matches, and he was the best striker in all preseason time. And I keep in contact with him, and he's also very thankful for me because he thinks I gave him a very big chance to start very big career. And right now, I'm one of the biggest supporters of West Ham United, because Jared Bowen, his performance fantastic. And maybe this is one of the most positive moments in my job in England, because I gave a big chance to start a career Jared Bowen, for example. Of course, Andy Robertson or other players. With Andy, I worked only 10 days, and first day he informed me, okay, coach, everything is good, but 100% I will leave.
So I guess the other really positive thing about your time at Hull is the way the people responded to you. You seem to have a real connection with the people of the city. And like now when we see Marcelo Bielsa doing so well just down the road from Hull at Leeds, one of the things that the Leeds supporters love so much about Bielsa, it's not just the style of football, it's the way that he connects with them. It's the way that he speaks to them when he's out in the street. And, you know, they feel a closeness to him. And you seem to have a similar relationship with the people of Hull.
Yes, this is true. For me, it was a very big surprise. I remember one day we lost against Bristol City at home. We won, like usual, we won after 80 minutes 2-0, but finally we lose 3-2. And next day, I met one guy in the street and he told me, oh, thank you very much. And for me, it was a big surprise because in CSKA, if we lost one game, everyone hate me. Yes, in the street, everywhere. And I thought, right. Why you tell me thank you? Because we lost yesterday. It was very painful defeat for me, for example. He told me, doesn't matter results. I received a lot of positive emotions and I remember you give me this type of emotions. And for me, it was maybe like first time in my life when people talking not only about results, not only about win, and about emotions, about the feeling of a process. And I had a really very good relationship with supporters. I was in the typical hall market. I used all restaurant street. And last day, after when I go out from the hall, I move on the walking street in hall, and everyone who sat inside of a cafe and everywhere, you know, like which is like long window, yes, it's everyone who saw me, it's move out and give me like small presents like card or something else. And wow. Yes, and I was crying. Yes, this is not easy for me. And it was fantastic. And I felt each minute, each second, fantastic support. And I had a very good relationship with supporters. They continue to send me a lot of message in Instagram, everywhere. Yes, it's... And Hull City really inside me. Maybe it was not the best situation for club, but people... supporters, players, we have a... I keep in touch with some players, like, for example, not only Jared Bowen, Maxi Clark, and Dawson, for example, and... some foreign players also I keep in touch with Seb Larsson, or David Mailer, for example. I don't know if he's foreign or not, because Irish players, yes. And really, yeah. We have a very good relationship right now.
You know, when we agreed to have this chat, it made me think immediately of my experience in the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Because before that, there was a lot of, I guess, nervousness is the word. In the UK, a lot of people were talking about perhaps it was dangerous to go to Russia. People were concerned about security and how they'd be welcomed and many other ways. Personally, I had a fantastic experience in Russia. I really enjoyed it in Moscow and in all the other places that we're at. We spent quite a bit of time in Sochi as well. What sort of experience was it for you as a Russian getting to show such a positive face of Russia to the world?
I was sure about it was the best World Cup in the world because we made the best Summer Olympic Games in 1918 Moscow. We had the best Winter Olympic Games 2014 in Sochi, and now we have the best World Cup. For me, this is quite easy. When a lot of people in England ask me, oh, I'm really very nervous, maybe this is dangerous, I told, this is the most safety place in the world right now for the World Cup. This is very easy because our mentality, Russian mentality, I tell you very simple example. For example, if you go to your friends, yes, it's like for the dinner in his house, maybe we don't buy the best products in the world, we don't put it, I don't know, the black caviar on the table, yes, it's maybe like a little bit greedy in this situation, not all the best for your friends, yes. In Russia, if you tell somebody, okay, I will go, or somebody invite you to his house, way, I don't know, way, maybe, way try to buy everything. It will be on the table, black caviar, everything. Yes, it's a way you can sit only on one t-shirt, stay, but try to show you what the best we have. This is our mentality. And of course, if we are talking about a lot of foreign players, World Cup, and how possible to show our the best face, which is our skill, believe me, which is our skill. We maybe don't like each other too much, which is problem for us, yes, to be honest. But if we are talking about guests, about especially foreign guests, okay, believe me, everyone give you all the best what he has.
And as well, if we're talking about your current club, Rubin, who have such an incredible, relatively new stadium as well, some of the best matches of the World Cup were in Kazan, weren't they? Which is obviously a beautiful city. But you had France, Argentina, Brazil, Belgium, which were incredible games. I mean, do people in the city still talk about those games now?
To be honest, no. Because for Russian people, World Cup, yes, this is very big historical day, not date, time. But after this, of course, we don't have a long time memory about this. First season after World Cup, we had an effect after World Cup. All stadium continued to be full. Yes, and first season, it was fantastic effect of a World Cup. But right now, because second season and your memory is not too long usual, and right now, not a lot of people talking about World Cup and in Kazan is special because Kazan, which is not football city, which is more ice hockey city. In Russia, we have a difference. Yes, we are talking about, oh, this is football city or this is ice hockey city. Yes, usual two kinds of sports. Yes, ice hockey or football. And of course, in Kazan, ice hockey more popular than football.
And I suppose as well, the glory years that we think of for Rubin when they won the title in 2008, 2009, we remember them going and getting good results at Barcelona, for example. Mm-hmm. That's quite a long time ago now. I mean, is there any hope that you'll be able to edge towards those sort of achievements again? Or does that feel a very long way away?
We try to do it, but to be honest, this is very difficult because when Rubin was champion in Russian League, we had a transfers like Carlos Eduardo for 20 million euro. And of course, it was completely different budget and another sponsors of the clubs. Right now, because last season, we were very close to relegate from the Russian League, and we had, because in the good time, we made a lot of ban from UEFA, and we stopped our financial fair play, and we paid all old contracts, and finally we didn't have a possibility to take some players in the team. And last season it was target stay in the league and stabilize it's our financial level. Right now we are pretended to be in the like middle of a table, also serious target for us because we don't have a lot of transfer and we have a budget, for example, in four times less than Zenit or CSKA or Spartak Moscow. But in the future, because we have a very ambitious government in Tatarstan, in Kazan, and for because in Russia we don't have a lot of owner in the club. Usually this is or government or like very big company, but this is also country company like Lukoil or Taif. It's like oil company or another company. And Tatarstan government, it's very ambition. And of course, we dream to come back this time when we had 12 years ago. But of course, this is because we tried to do it, and finally it was unbelievable and successful time, and we spend a lot of money and not success. Right now, maybe more slowly process, but finally, maybe in one or two seasons, I think we will pretend it on the top level in Russia.
And I suppose one of the very positive things about the Russian Premier League this season has been that, unlike a lot of European leagues, so La Liga, for example, hasn't had any fans in since last spring, you have been able to have fans in. That was something we really noticed in the Champions League with supporters in the stadiums at Zenit and Krasnodar. I mean, speaking to your colleagues, you obviously have a huge network of former players and other coaches and colleagues across Europe. What have your coaching colleagues and players who you know from the past, how have they found it to play in empty stadiums? And has it made you appreciate how important the fans are?
Yes, this is very big difference, because we also played some games without supporters, some games. Right. And of course, this is a very big difference if you have, for example, 10% of full stadium or zero. Sometimes we had in each region, we have like local rules about how many supporters possible to go. It's a, I think maximum it was 50%, minimum it was 10%. In Kazan, at the beginning we had a 25%, finally we had a 50%. Of course, this is very big difference. And a lot of my foreign friends called me and told me, oh, right now we are watching Russian league. I never think about Russian league. It's quite good. I told him, no. This is effect of a stadium. Because right now, when you are watching English Premier League or La Liga or Bundesliga, of course, this is completely different feeling. Because without supporters, this is another type of sport. And if you watch a football with supporters, this is also completely different feeling. And yes, I think it was serious advantage for us and for coaches and for players. This is very big difference if you have supporters at the stand or you don't have supporters at the stand.
And finally, before we let you go, Leonard, you did find a way, and Rubin did find a way, to connect with supporters over Christmas by your Christmas song, of course. Tell us how that came about.
To be honest, this is not my achievement. This is our media department achievement. They told me, Leonid, we have idea. Maybe you try to sing a song, Mariah Carey Christmas song. First, my reaction, I thought you are crazy. I never sing a song officially, but maybe you tried. We tried to do some, it's like very funny clips. Okay, I told you, okay, I can try. And finally, you watch it. I am not sure which is very good, but I think this is the biggest feeling, and this is very unrare, yes, for a football coach or football maybe society, this type of clips. That's it.
Look, thanks so much for your time, Leonid. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Andy, thank you very much.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.